Excellent.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not kidding. Seriously, I think we heard. Okay, we're being recorded.
Oh,
I was waiting for you. Erev Tov, everybody. Erev Tov. I think about every 15 years I give a shiur the kind that I'm going to give tonight. I think it's necessary every 15 years or so. Yes, Hashem, we should get together and learn the shiur again 15 years from now. Everybody's in agreement, okay? I'm not sure that, you know, I may be in chutzlar, you know, I can't be sure. This is the front side. Number one is Yigdal. Number two are the 13 articles of the faith, the Ani Mamin. The Yigdal is said at the beginning of davening. The Ani Mamin appears in the Siddur at the end of davening. I was very careful how I said it. I don't know how many people say the Ani Mamin, which appears after Olenu someplace. It's quite possible that after this shiur, you may listen to Yigdal a great deal more carefully, and you may even decide to start saying Ani Mamin after davening. By the way, it always happens to me after I say this shiur that I make my way through till the end of davening and I say it. But let me at least assure you of one thing. I want to assure you that this is directly related to Parashat HaShavua. But in order to understand what I'm going to talk about in Parashat HaShavua, we have to acquaint ourselves with the 13 articles of the faith that were enunciated by the Rambam. Where did the Rambam write the 13 articles of the faith? He wrote it in his Perush HaMishnayis, his commentary in the Mishnah, on the first Mishnah in the last chapter of Masechta Sanhedrin, Eilu Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek La'olam Haba. And there the Rambam says, in order to have a chelek, l'olam haba, share in the world to come, one has to be part of the Jewish people. There is an olam haba for good goyim as well, but as far as Jews are concerned, we have to believe in the 13 articles of the faith. The Rambam is very harsh in his wording, where he says that anybody who doesn't believe one of these articles of the faith finds himself really standing outside of the pale of Judaism, outside the pale. So let's start with number two. Now, in order to make things easier for you, in other words, in order to make the rest of the shiur easier, I'm going to tell you the 13 articles of the faith in three groups. Group number one is 1 to 5. Number one is the existence of God. Number two, God is absolutely one. Number three, God is in no way physical. Number four, God is eternal. He was, he is, and he will be. And the fifth one is Lo levado, to him alone ra'ui lehitpalel, to him alone do we pray. Yeah, that's segment number one of the 12 of the 13 articles of the faith. Again, I hope by the time this shiur is over, you will be able to say the Yud Gimel Ikrim like that. He exists. He's one. Not physical, eternal, to him we pray. I don't think that took more than 20 seconds. The first five articles of the faith. The next four, that's six, seven, 8 and 9, God communicates with man through prophecy. We believe in prophecy. Number 2, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets, greater than those who preceded him and all who would come after him. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that Torah that was given to us by Moshe will never be changed, altered, edited, abrogated, expurgated. It remains the same into eternity. So, again, numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9, God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The whole Torah in our possession was given to us by Moshe, and that Torah will never change. Okay? We're doing very well. We now have 10, 11, 12, and 13. You have 10? 10, 11, 12, yeah. 10. Number 10 is God knows what we do. He knows what we think. He knows everything about us. Why does he know all of this about us? Because he rewards those who perform his mitzvahs, and he punishes those who do avedas. And 12 and 13 are the ultimate reward, the ultimate reward within history and beyond history. Within history, it's the Biat HaMashiach, the most famous of the Animamins, Biat HaMashiach. And then number 13 is that we believe that there will come a time God is going to bring the dead back to life. Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. So again, 10, 11, 12, 13, God knows what we think, what we do. He knows everything about us because he rewards and he punishes. Ultimate reward in this world, within history, is the period of the Mashiach and the coming of the Mashiach. And beyond history, it is going to be Tishayala L'Ratzon L'Fonav, there will be Tchiyas HaMeis and the resurrection of the dead. There you have, in a nutshell, the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam. Now, the Rambam did not write them in an Ani Mamin formulation, and neither did he write Yigdal. Number one on your sheet is Yigdal. Now, Yigdal is there in davening every morning at the beginning of davening. Now, we sing Yigdal Yantif night after davening. Shabbat, Friday night after davening, we sing Adon Olam. But on Yantif, we sing Yigdal. There may be other minhagim elsewhere, but that's okay. I'm just responsible to tell you what the minhag here is. You sing Yigdal all the time? Every Friday night you sing Yigdal. Where do you daven anyway? Huh? At the Great Synagogue. Well, okay. All right. Okay, that's very beautiful. That's fine, that's fine. That's okay. All right, yes, that's okay. Yigdal. Yigdal is a poetic rendition of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. You have it at the beginning of the davening and you have it at the end of the davening. The whole davening is sandwiched between 13 Ikrim on one side, 13 Ikrim on the other side. It's extremely significant, do you understand? We don't know precisely who wrote Yigdal or who wrote Ani Mamin. The Rambam, as I said, did not write it that way. The Rambam simply explained that there are 13 articles and he proceeds to explain each one of them. Do we have to? Let's run quickly through Yigdal, even though it's not the Great Synagogue and it's a Tuesday night, but all right, we'll say Yigdal. Yigdal l'kim chayv yishtabach nimtza, he exists v'ein eit el mitziuto, his existence is unbounded by time. Echad, he is absolutely one, v'ein yachid ki yichudo, there is no one like his oneness. Nelam, he is concealed, we cannot understand the v'gamein sof l'arduto. Ein lo demus ha'gof, he ain't no gof, he doesn't have the form of anything physical. In other words, when Torah talks about the hand of God, the arm, the outstretched arm of God, that's certainly now in the parashot that we talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim or Eretz Yisrael, I said, Einei Hashem Elokecha bo meidei shitshonah v'yadach rishonah, the eyes of God that look at at Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. All of these are terms that are used so that we should be able to understand. But it does not at all mean that God is in any way physical. Lo naroche lof kedushato. There is nobody that compares to his sanctity. Kadmon lechol davar shenivra. He was before anything that was ever created. Rishon vein reishit l'reishito. He is the beginning. There is no beginning like his beginning. He is the master. He is the master for all that were created. He demonstrates to them his greatness and his sovereignty. That means the only one that we turn to is we turn to him. Then Shefa Nivuato Nitano. He has granted man this flow of prophecy, Elan Sheisugulato Vitifarto, to his exceptional and outstanding people. O come be Israel, there never arose in Israel Kemoshe Od, another prophet, Umabitatunato, who was able to see his form. Torah Temet Natan Leamoel, God gave a true Torah to his people, Al Yad Nevio Ne'eman Beito, through his prophet, who is the trusted one in his house. Lo yachalifuev, lo yomed dato, he will never change or trade in dato, his religion, lo olamim lezulato, it always remains. Always remains. Torah doesn't change. So for the Yodea Sitarenu, he looks and he sees all of our secrets, everything that's going on. Mabit lesov davar v'kadmato, he knows the end, what a person is going to do at the end, and he knows it in advance. And then, why does he know? Because Gomel Yish Chesed Kimifalo, to a man of kindness, he rewards him according to his deeds, and Notein L'Roshara Kirishato, he gives to the evil like his evil. And then, of course, the end is Yishtach L'Keitz HaYomin, at the end of days, he will send the Shichenu Livdot to redeem Mechakei Keitz Yeshuato. Those longing for his final salvation, the Rambam says, the obligation of believing in Mashiach is that every day you should look forward to and anticipate his coming. That's why it helps to say Yigdal and know what you're saying when you say Yigdal. And if you didn't have Kavanah by Yigdal, you should say the Ani Mamins at the end, so that at least you will know that that day you anticipated and you looked forward to the coming of the Mashiach. I think it's far easier in our times to look forward to the coming of the Mashiach, because there is no one that's going to save us out of the big mess we put ourselves into. All right? Meitim Yechayev Rav Chasdo, God is going to bring back to life, resurrect the dead. Baruch Adei Ad Shem Tilato, blessed forever is his praise name. Okay, there you have it. We have the 13 Ikarim. About 200 to 300 years after the Rambam, Reb Yosef Albo, one of the philosophers of the Middle Ages, wrote a sefer called Sefer HaIkarim. And what did Reb Yosef Albo do? He went ahead and he reduced the 13 of the Rambam into 3. And these 3 incorporate within themselves the 13 articles of the faith. And I really did the job for you when I learned the 13 articles of the faith in 3 groups. He says that the three pillars of Jewish belief are Mitziyut Hashem, the existence of God, which includes in it that he exists, that he's one, he's not physical, he's eternal. Here we pray. Second pillar is the pillar of Torah. Min HaShemayim, the Torah was given from heaven, revelation at Mount Sinai. And that includes the next 4 of the Rambam's 13, which is that he communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The whole Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never change. The third of his 3 principles upon which all of Yahadut stands is divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, which then becomes Schar V'onesh, God is concerned. He's involved. He knows everything that we do because he rewards and he punishes. Right. How did Rabbi Yosef Albo know that those are the 13 Ikarim? So he said the following in the introduction to his Sefer, which as I said is called the Sefer Ikarim. Rabbi Yosef Albo says that, listen, when Jews came back from the Babylonian exile, the ones who stood at the head of the Jewish people were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly. And they are the ones who composed the davening, the Shmona Esrei, the Shmona Esrei. Now, one of the Shmona Esreis that they composed is the Shmona Esrei of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. And in the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, there are three major brachot: Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Each one of these three are a collection of 10 psukim from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The first one talks of God's kingship in the world. Malchus, God as king of the world, expresses the idea that there is a God, Mitzvot Hashem. What was the second of these? What is the second of these three brachas? That is Zichronos. Zichronos, Oivagamis, Noach, Bi'av, Zacharto, you remembered Noach, and then you remembered Sarah and Rachel. What is all of this remembering? God remembers those who do mitzvahs, remembers those who do averis. He rewards those who do mitzvahs, he punishes those who do averis. And in that brach of Zichronos, it says, Va'al ha-medinos bo ye'omer, and about the nations of the world, it will be said on this day of Rosh Hashanah, Eizol ha-cherev, Eizol ha-rov, which one will have sword and which one will have famine. In other words, what's going to happen in the world is described in the brach of Zichronos. So Zichronos represents the pillar of Hashgach HaProtis, divine providence, reward and punishment. What is the third of the three brachas in Musaf Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah? It's called Shofaros. Shofaros begins with one of the most beautiful, beautiful descriptions, a poetic description. Aton Iglesa Banan Kovodecho, you revealed yourself in your cloud of glory, El Amcha Yisrael, to your people Israel. It describes the divine presence coming down to rest upon Mount Sinai, and you hear the sound of the shofar, Shofaros, the sound of the shofar of Sinai. So what is that third bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf talking about? It's talking about Torah, Mi-Sinai, that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets, and the entire Torah that was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never be changed. So he says, why did Anshei Knesset HaGdolah compose Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros? Because they represent the articles of the faith. I imagine, of course, that Rabbi Yosef Albo also felt that the 13 Ikrim are too important that they should not be communicated to us by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They certainly had to tell us about it. They didn't leave us floundering until the Rambam would come. For sure, this had to be part of Jewish creed before that. I find it in a different area as well. The Tur Shulchan Aruch asks the following question in Orach Chaim. Do you understand that the three Shmoneh Esreis of Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos in the morning, and Shabbos Mincha are three totally different tefillot? Do you know that every day of the week, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, it's the same Shmoneh Esrei? Rosh Hashanah, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, the same Shmoneh Esrei. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, all the same. The only place where you have a different Shmoneh Esrei for Maariv, a different one for Shacharis, and a different one for Mincha, is on Shabbos, every Shabbos. Friday night, what's the text of the Shmoneh Esrei? You are the one who sanctified the seventh day. Tachlis Masa Shemayim Boretz. It is a description of the creation of the world. It comes to Shabbos in the morning, a whole different story is being said in the Shmon Esrei. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Let Moshe be happy in that which was given to him. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko ki eved neman korosolo. You called him the trustworthy servant. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko ki eved neman korosolo. Klil tifedet b'rosho nosatolo ba'omdo lefanecho. When he stood before you, al har Sinai on Mount Sinai, u'shnei luchot avonim, and two tablets of stone he took in his hand and he brought it down to the Jewish people. What's the description of Shabbos in the morning? It's not describing creation. It's describing Maimon Har Sinai, revelation of Mount Sinai. When you come to Mincha, the Shmar Es is completely different. Mincha is like something we've never experienced. Ato Echad, you are one, V'Shimcha Echad, your name is one. U'mikamcha Yisrael, and who's like your people Israel? Goyechad Baritz, Tifedet Gedulah V'Tedet Yeshua, Yom Menucho Kedusha La'amcha Nasata, a day of peace and rest and holiness you gave to your people. Avraham Yagel, Yitzchak Yeranein, Yaakov Uvonav Yanucho Bo. Avraham will be full of joy, Yitzchak is going to sing, Yaakov and his children are going to rest. This is describing a period in history that we have not yet experienced on the face of this earth, as of yet. So the Torah asks, why are there three different Shmona Esras on Shabbos? So he says, the three Shmona Esras of Shabbos correspond to the three great Shabbatot. In history, there are three great Shabbatot. Shabbat number one is Shabbat Bereshit. Now, it does not mean the Shabbos on which we read Parashat Bereshit. Shabbat Bereshit means the first Shabbos of creation, the very first Shabbos, the one of Vayechulu. The second great Shabbos in history is, the Gemara in Shabbos says, though there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon on what day of the month of Sivan, the 6th or the 7th, the 5th or the 6th, that Torah was given at Sinai, Kuli Alma, but they all agree that Torah was given on Shabbos. Everybody agrees that Torah was given on Shabbos. That's the second great Shabbos in history. The third great Shabbos in history is Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha Lechayehu Alamim. That period in history that's all going to be Shabbos. A period in history when there will be peace on earth, where an entire world will recognize the greatness of Rabbeinu Shalom. All the Moshiim Baratzi and Lishbotas Harisov, for Yisrael Hashem Avlucha, the Noharuel, El of Kolakim, and all of the nations of the world are going to come flowing toward Yerushalayim. So that's the answer that's given by the tour. There are three different Shmona Esrei of Shabbos, one corresponding to Shabbos Bereshis, the second to Shabbos of Matan Torah, and the third representing the Messianic era, which is the one long Shabbos. So I want to say, by the same token, we can say that each one of the Shmona Esrei of Shabbos speaks of another one of the three pillars of faith that were enunciated by Rabbi Yosef Albo. The first one, of course, being, the first one is Mitzvot Hashem, the existence of God. That's Friday night. Friday night is talking about the existence of God. It's talking about God the Creator. What's the second main article of the faith? Torah Min HaShemayim. What, in fact, is Shabbos in the morning talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu bringing down Torah, bringing the Luchos down to Klal Yisrael, Torah coming down from heaven. And what is the Mincha? Mincha talks about the ultimate reward, Yemos HaMashiach. A time at which Avraham, and it means Tchias HaMeisim as well, because it's going to be a time Avraham is going to be full of joy, Yitzchak is going to sing, Yaakov and his children are going to rest on that day. These are the three articles of the faith of Rabbi Yosef Albo, which, as we say, include the 13 of the Rambam, and they are represented by the three Shmona Esrei of Shabbos. What does this all have to do with Parashat Vayera? What does it have to do with Shabbos? Where did I go off onto a tangent? What am I talking about? I didn't go off on a tangent. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to tell you now. Over the years, I have collected threes. I'm a big collector of threes. There are people who collect stamps. There are people who collect coins, seashells. Who knows what else people collect? Telephone cards. They don't think they collect them anymore. Since the cell phones came in, who uses phone cards?
Baseball
cards. There are people... Rabbis? Did you say people? Rabbi cards. I thought, you know, I know people who collect rabbis. I know they collect it. They have this one that they talk to. They have that one that they talk to. This one told them. All right. Anyway, yes, rabbi cards. You know this. All right. The tzach adash v'achav. The other side. Elu esemakis and Hagada. We say these are the 10 plagues. Shehevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu ala Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. Elu and Dam Tzvardeya Kinim all of the Shchin Borot Harbei Choshech Makas Becharos. Rabbi Yehuda Yonosim Behem Simonim. The tzach adash. What did Rabbi Yehuda accomplish? I mean, we live in a day and age of acronyms. Without acronyms, we don't move. Tzahal, Nachal, CNN, FBI, I don't know, give whatever else you want, I don't know, whatever else comes to mind. NDS, IDT, Gemach. Who? Gemach. Very good, Gemach. Okay, Shlita. Mavdal. Mavdal. That's right. We live with acronyms. So what was the great accomplishment of Rabbi Yehuda? Hoyenosim Mem Simonim Tatzach Hadash Biachav. Furthermore, you have to understand this week's seder is going to be Vaera. In Vaera, seven of the makas appear in Vaera. There are going to be three. The last three are going to be related in Parshas. Bow. That's going to be Arve, the locusts, Choshech, darkness, and Makas Bechores. Now, as you go through the Parsha and you listen to the Kriya Sator, you may come up with a bunch of serious questions. I would say that they seem a little bit strange. In Parsha Vayera, it says the following. By Orov. Orov is the plague of wild animals that came down from the mountains, from the forests. So it says, Ki im ein chomesh aleich et ami, if you don't send my people out, hinini mashliach d'cha, I'm going to send against you and your servants and your people and your houses, et he orov. The mixture of wild animals, they will fill the houses of Egypt. And then the next pasuk says, this is God speaking, God through Moshe speaking to Paro. V'ifleiti b'yom ahu et eretz Goshen. On that day I'm going to separate. I'm going to single out the land of Goshen, asher ami omed aleha, where my people is. Levilti hayot sham arov. So that there will not be a plague of wild animals there. What am I supposed to understand from that pasuk? Am I supposed to understand that Dam, Jews also suffered Dam? Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Jews. Ah, when it comes to the fourth one, when it comes to the wild animal, Beflesi Bayomahu, on that day I'm going to differentiate between my people and the Egyptians. Impossible. How do we understand the pasuk like this? And then the it came, and the pasuk says, yes, v'hiflo Hashem, God distinguished between, He separated between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and that's the way it was. The makkah that comes after Orov is Dever. Dever is a plague that's going to affect all the livestock. The livestock will die. Here also, the Rebbein Shem says, you know, Jewish livestock is not going to be affected. Only Egyptian livestock. And of all things, after the Makkah comes, it says, Vayomas kol miknei Mitzrayim, all of the cattle of Egypt died, umi miknei b'nei Yisrael lo meit echad, from the cattle of the children of Israel, not a single one died. Vayishlach Paro, Paro sent messages, he wanted to find out, is it really true? Is it really so? All the Jewish cows, you understand, were alive and well. V'hinei, and behold, lo meis mi miknei Yisrael alechad, not a single head of cattle died. What are we supposed to understand from this? That Arov and Dever did not affect the Jewish people, but the other Makkahs did affect the Jewish people? What's going on over there? When we come to Va'achav, Borod and Arbe, there's something new that appears on the scene by Borod. Borod is going to be hail. Hail the kind that never ever happened before or after. Hail is going to come down upon Mitzrayim. Listen to the passage. Moshe, in the name of God, tells the Paro, Va'ato now, the Borod is coming. Shlach ho'ez et miknecha, go and gather in your cattle, that kol asher l'cho basada, whatever you have in the field, kol ha'odem v'behemo, all man and animal, asher yimotzei basada, anything that's going to be out in the field, and will not be taken in, v'lo ye yosef habayta, and will not be brought into the house, v'yorad aleim ha'borod, the borod is going to come down on them, and they're going to die. Get your cattle and people out of the fields, get them indoors. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, the Rebbein Shalom is becoming compassionate. Get them in so that nothing should happen. No, it isn't. It reminds me of Barak. The day of the lynch in Ramallah, 3 hours later we hear Israeli planes are pounding Gaza. And I felt, Baruch Hashem, thank God, give them such a terrible thing. Then we find out that they notified them in advance, and he bombed empty buildings. Understand? So what's going on over here? The Rebbein Shem says, I'm bringing down hail, boy, this punishment, you're going to have hail to pay for this, for what you're doing to the... Huh? Save all questions. I need a good tape. Alright? So what's happening over here? God is becoming so compassionate? Get all your cattle in? Get all your people out of the fields? Who knows what's going to happen to them? What's going on over here? We come to Arbe. Arbe, it's even stranger than all. It's even stranger. Arbe, the locusts. Now, I think there are four terms that are going to be used by Arbe, that the likes of which were not used by all of the other Makos. It says, Hinini mevi mocha, tomorrow I'm going to bring Arbe, I'm going to bring locusts, big gvul lecho, within your boundary. The word gvul had not been used till now. Now, what am I to assume? That Dever and Dam and all the rest took were not in Mitzrayim, outside of Mitzrayim. The Arbe is going to be big vulecha, and then it goes on to say that when it indeed came, so it came down. V'yal, it's going to come. The Arbe is going to come al eretz Mitzrayim, upon the land of Egypt, and it's going to eat all the grass of the land. Moshe stretched out his staff over the Eretz Mitzrayim, and there the Arbe came. Vayal Harbe, this is the third time already. I'll call Eretz Mitzrayim. It came down on all the land of Egypt. What about Dam Sardei and all the rest? They weren't on the land of Egypt. What's the big chiddush? All of a sudden, Arbe is on the land of Egypt.
Vayalhar be'akol eretz Mitzrayim. Vayonach b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. The Arbe came upon the whole land and it came to rest in the entire boundary of Egypt. There was nothing like it ever before. And then it says, nothing remained. V'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Nachamol v'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And then when God removes them, I think it's five or six times already, lo nishar arbe yechod v'chol gvul Mitzrayim, not a single loci. Is that the singular of locust? A single locust. Not a single locust remained within the boundaries of Egypt. Egypt, Eretz Mitzrayim, Gvul Mitzrayim, Gvul, Eretz. What's going on over there? There's another overall question that has to be asked. Makkah 1 and 2 came with warning in advance. He was told what was going to happen. Makkah 3 comes with no warning. Dam Tzvardeya are with warning. Kinim, no warning. Adov Deva come with warning. Shrin, no warning. Borod Arbe come with warning. Choshech, no warning. 3, 6, and 9 come without warning. Interesting, of course, also about 3, 6, and 9. 3, 6, and 9 are a physical punishment of the body of the Egyptians. Kinim is an external lice or whatever it is that comes. Shchin is boils. Shchin is from within. And then the choshech, the darkness that's going to come, is a physical kind of darkness that they can't move. They're sort of surrounded with darkness on all sides. In order to answer these questions, and by the fact there's many others, the Leil Shimurim, that's the name of my favorite Haggadah. The Leil Shimurim was written by Rabbi Yechiel Michel HaLevi Epstein, who was the Baal Orach HaShulchan. He wrote the Orach HaShulchan on all of Shulchan Aruch. He was Rav in Vardok. He was the father of the Torah Tamima, whose name was Baruch HaLevi Epstein. He was also, of all the interesting things, he was the brother-in-law of the Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And after the Netziv's first wife died, the Netziv married the Orach HaShulchan's, his brother-in-law's daughter, so that he became a son-in-law to the Orach HaShulchan as well. Very interesting. Oh yes, and they had one child. He was 50, she was 20 at the time. And they had one child, I think it's one child, Reb Meir Berlin, who became Reb Meir Bar Ilan. Came from the Netziv, Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who we talked about some weeks ago, was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Voloshin. Okay. To give you the time frame, the Orach HaShulchan was born in 1829 and died in 1908. A colossus. His Orach HaShulchan is a magnum opus on all of Halacha. And his little Haggadah called Leil Shimurim is great. I love it. The Orach HaShulchan says the following. He says, the accomplishment of Rabbi Yehuda, who divided the Makos into three groups of the Tzach, Adash, Bachav, is because one thing we must understand to begin with, God didn't simply bring punishment upon the Egyptians in order to torture them. God never brings punishment just as torture. Punishment always has to be in order to instruct, to educate, to guide, to send a message. Just stam, shlugin. No such thing. What is the instruction that God wants to send the Egyptians? And this, of course, you're going to see throughout Parshat Va'era, going into Parshat Bo, time and time again by each one of the Makkos. It says, Luman Teda, in order that you should know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I am God.
Leman teda, in order that you should know ki ein kamoni, there is none like me b'chol haaretz. Leman teidas, in order that you should know ki ani Hashem b'kerev haaretz, I am God in the midst of the land. It's a refrain that repeats itself throughout Vayera. So he says, do you know what the Rebbeinu Shem wants to teach Paro and Mitzrayim? The three articles of the faith of Rabbi Yosef Albo. Mitzios Hashem, the existence of God. Bitzach is the existence of God. Dam means a dramatic change in nature. Tzvardeya, Tzvardim by nature live in water. They don't end up jumping around in hot stoves or ovens, or prance around in bedrooms in Mitzrayim. A dramatic change of this sort in nature can only be wrought by the one who made nature. There's a Rebbe Shem who created the world, and he can therefore change it. So Dam and Tzvardeya are in order to teach that there is a God. You should know there's a God. There's another thing you have to know. According to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, a person has to learn a lesson twice. Dam teaches them that there's a God. Tzvardeya teaches them that there's a God. You know what happened? You didn't learn the lesson after two times? A patch. What's the patch? The physical punishment of Kinim. Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, and that comes without warning. You didn't listen? Patch. What are Orov and Dever? Now you can understand what's going on in Torah. Orov and Dever are in order to teach that there's divine providence. God rewards and punishes. Do you know what he has to show the Mitzrayim over here? You should know you're going to suffer, but the Jews are not going to suffer. I'm going to show you clearly that difference on that day. It doesn't mean that all the other makas did affect the Jewish people. No, of course none of the makas affected the Jewish people. But he wants to teach him a lesson. So he says you should know these wild animals are going to come only where Egyptians live, not where Jews live. If you have Jews on one side of the street and Egyptians on the other side of the street, there will be wild animals on one side and not on the other side. V'eflesi b'yomahu, on that day, you're going to see the difference. Because there's punishment and there's reward. There's divine providence. I know who's who. And I know who deserves to be punished and who deserves to be rewarded. The same thing is taught by Dever. Not a single head of livestock that belongs to the Jewish people died. And he wants to see this. He sends his people, is it really true? And they come back and they say, you know, all the Yiddish behind us are alive and well. They're all alive and well. Because the purpose over here is to show him, to teach him, there's reward and there's punishment. There's Tov and there's Ra. There are the good people and there are the bad people. And I want you to know that there's divine providence. So there was Dever, Orov Dever. Twice he's taught the message, doesn't learn it. Patch. The patch now is Shchin. From within their body they develop boils. Barad and Arbe are really fascinating. What is the fundamental principle that he has to be taught now? He has to be taught that there is Torah min HaShamayim. Now, we don't mean that he's going to teach him 613 mitzvahs. Torah min HaShamayim in its broadest sense means that God instructs man. God didn't simply create man and let him flounder to find out for himself what's good and what's evil, what's moral and what's immoral. Implanted within man is a natural inclination and understanding that what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. The Rebbe Shem didn't have to tell Cain, don't you know that in the Aseret HaDibrot it says, Lo tirtzach, thou shalt not kill? And Cain would have said, listen, you haven't given Torah yet. I haven't seen the Ten Commandments. What do you want from me? No, because man has it's ingrained within the nature of man to abhor murder. Because God instructs all of mankind. And Torah ben Hashamayim over here is man has to be ready to receive the word and the message of God. So he's not going to tell him, you know, you got to put on tefillin and you got to keep kosher and which hashgachas are good and which hashgachas aren't good. That's not what he's going to tell him. But he's going to give him instruction. So therefore, when Barad is going to come, he tells them, listen to me and you'll be okay. Bring your cattle in from the field. Bring all your servants in from the field. If you don't bring them in from the field, they're going to be destroyed. The purpose is you're being tested. Do you accept the principle that God instructs man, or do you reject it? Arbe is where the only time it says the locusts were within the boundaries of Mitzrayim, in the land of Mitzrayim, Nachamol land. So there's a beautiful medrash at the beginning of Parashat Bo that says, and you should know, nothing that goes on in this world is new. It's been happening all along. There was a border dispute between Mitzrayim and Cush, the immediate southern neighbor. And most probably for years, they would capture a few kilometers and then they would capture a few kilometers back. It's been like this, how many, 300-400 years France and Germany fought about the Rhineland and Alsace-Lorraine and all of the rest, and the Japanese and the Russians fought out their Echves in Siberia. People have always been looking for secure and safe borders. Every nation has had this. So there was a major dispute between two great powers, Mitzrayim and Kush. Do you know how how it was resolved? There was a green line. God created a green line. Wherever the Arbe ate up the grass, you know where that took place? Only in Eretz Mitzrayim. That was Gvul Mitzrayim. The moment you see a line of grass, then you know that that's Kush. So you know what's happening over here? This is Horah, a Psak Halacha coming down Min HaShamayim. You should know that the Rebbeinu was involved in man. And he is telling you what the halach is. Ad Kan is Eretz Mitzrayim. This is the Gevul Mitzrayim. And the rest is Kush. So now, when they didn't learn this lesson of Barad and Arbe, without warning comes the klap, the choshech, the darkness. The last one already, is the one Makkah that is brought in order to affect the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. The Beis can either stand for Bechorot or B'ni Bechodi Yisrael. The Jewish people are my firstborn. So you can have some homework. I can leave you with some homework as well. First of all, the homework is that you should review, and you should be able, if somebody stops you in the street or wakes you up in the middle of the night and asks you, please tell me, what are the 13 articles of the faith, you should be able to say them. You want to time me? How long it'll take me to say it? Anybody have a watch with a second hand? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. God exists, he is one, he is not physical, he is eternal. To him alone do we pray. He communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never be changed. God knows what we think and what we do. He rewards and he punishes. The ultimate reward in this world is the coming of Mashiach, the Messianic era. And in time to come, it will be the resurrection of the dead. How long? 25 seconds. I wouldn't have believed it. 25 seconds. Can you imagine the whole creed of the Jewish people, the fundamental principles of all of Yados in 25, 26 seconds? Oh, if you study it, you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it, I'm sure. I can see you can do it. You can do it. There was a period of time in my life when I said I collected threes. We were talking about collecting stamps and collecting coins, etc. And telephone cards. I collected threes. If you look around, you're going to find other threes that really enunciate the same principle, the same three principles. I'll give you two of them that may be obvious, and then, you know, you have a whole week to try and figure it out. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. There's no question about it that Avram Avinu discovered God. He is Metzius Hashem. He is the existence of God. What's Yitzchak? Why does Yitzchak go willingly to the Akedah? You know why? Because Yitzchak believes that there is prophecy. God communicates with man. He also believes that God communicated with his father, because his father tells him that he has such a command. And he also believes that his father is the greatest of all prophets in his time. And that whatever his father says in the name of God is absolutely true. That's not Torah ben HaShamayim. And he is the first one who's ready to give his life for Torah ben HaShamayim. Second of the pillars. Yaakov, there's not even anything to talk about. Yaakov's whole life is divine providence. It begins with that dream, the night that he has the dream, where the Rebbein Shem tells him, "Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, I'm going to watch over you wherever you go. I'm going to bring you back to this land." All of Yaakov's life is a life of hashgacha pratis. Not only a life of hashgacha pratis, of schar v'onesh. He meets up with Lavan. Who stays Lavan's hand? God. He meets up with Esav. Who frightens Esav? The Rebbein Shem. They're the good guys and the bad guys. I'll give you one more. I don't have to explain. You can figure it out yourself. Maybe you can. The three biblical brachas of benching. Hazanis hakol, al ha'aretz v'lamazon, bonei berachem av Yerushalayim amen. What is the first bracha? The first bracha talks not about the Jewish people, it talks about all living beings. Who knows saying lechem l'chol basa? He provides for all mankind, for all flesh. God provides food for everybody. You know why he provides food for everybody? Because he created them all. He made the world. It's all his. And he feels the responsibility to take care of the whole world. The first Brachim benching is an absolutely universal one, because Metzius Hashem, the existence of God, is a universal concept. Not just limited to the Jewish people. When you're going to Noda Lecha, you are moving from the general, cosmic, to the very particular. Noda Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, you understand? What? You gave us Eretz Yisrael. Now Torascha Shelimadetanu. You taught us Torah. Torah min Hashamayim. Rachem No, just go through that third brach of Rachem No. Oh, is it talking about a Mashiach who's going to come, a Yerushalayim that's going to be rebuilt? It's talking about reward and the ultimate reward for Klal Yisrael. Bonei Berachem of Yerushalayim. Amen. There are others. And if you can come up with something exciting, I'd be ready to listen to it. What? I'm afraid to say that you're absolutely right. She said the three paragraphs of Shema. What is the first paragraph? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's Malchius. That's Metzias Hashem. The second paragraph is not Torah and Hashemayim. It's Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. Bohayim Shemayim, it's Yisrael. If you're going to listen to my mitzvahs, Torah and Hashemayim. The third paragraph of Shema, I'm God who took you out of Mitzrayim. The idea of reward and punishment.
God will take care of the good guys. The Rabbeinu Shalom is concerned with Klal Yisrael. Okay, that was fine. Now, if anybody's going to tell me Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, I'm not going to handle that one. It can't just be anything that's three, or Gilead Arayis Avodah Zarah and Shfichas Damim. It's not because something is three that it can fit into it. But yes, what about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos? Isn't that simple? Pesach, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am God. I am God. Mitzvus Hashem. Shavuos, you can't have more Torah than Asavayim than Shavuos. It can't get any better than that. And what's Sukkos all about? The fact that God hovers over us and watches us with the Anami HaKavod, the clouds of glory. If we're saying already Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, what about the month of Tishrei itself? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. What is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Vayichul Vashemayim V'Aretz. It's God's creation of the world. It's the day of creation. It's Friday. That's what it commemorates. Friday, a world created. God is King. Malchus Shamayim. We crown Him. That's the day He became. That's the day that He became King of the world. You know why He became King of the world on that day? Because on that day He created man. Ein melech b'li am. There is no such thing as a king without a people. On that day He became king. The Gemara at the end of Masechet Ta'anit says, what happened historically on Yom Kippur? Those luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu was given at Sinai, when did He bring it down? When did the Jewish people finally get it? The first set of luchos He smashed when He came down the first time on Shavuos of Tammuz. He went up again for another 40 days and prayed. And then another 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, and God told him, Psalucho, Shnei Luchos, Avonim Kirishonim, make another two Luchos, and I'm going to write on those two Luchos the words that were on the previous one. When does He finally give it them? When does Torah arrive by Klal Yisrael? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. That's Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Hashem, Yom Kippur, Torah Min HaShemayim, and Sukkos, as we said earlier, is clearly a Sukkala, a Kleine, von Bret aller Gemeine. What is Sukkos? The idea that there's divine providence, there's a Rabbeinu Shem who looks after us and who takes care of us. I didn't expect to give you so many. Now it makes it far more difficult for you. Erev Tov.
Davening,
Shachus
Min
Chamarev.
Huh? To say that we have to wait
15
years to hear this again.
Thank you. Davening,
Shachus Min
Chamarev.
Rabbi. I don't have the answer to your question. I don't have the answer to your question.
Oh.
I don't have the answer.
I don't have the answer. But it's a question.
It's a question. And I know that Mepharshim talk about it, I just don't remember what they say. And if I was going to try and go into it, I would have killed... Yeah, okay.
But I just, for me, that seems very strange.
Yeah, but they're right. You have to look into the Mepharshim. They ask the question. Joe, trust me. We Jews have been learning Torah for 3,500 years. Why can't I get this